Right, so this week is the last week that we're in our series, The Reason Why, and we're talking about Jesus and that he is the reason for all these different things that we've looked through. It always seems to come back to Jesus, and the Bible just keeps pointing us to the cross and saying, no matter what the question, no matter what you're going through, no matter what answer you're looking for, the reason is Jesus. He's your solution. And so as we're walking through this text, right, remember that this thing that had happened when Peter and John were going to the temple, and there was a guy who was there who hadn't been able to walk his entire life, over 40 years, and his only job was to sit there and beg. As people showed up, he was begging every day, and that was his job. That was his lot in life. That's what he woke up thinking he was going to go do. That's what he went to bed thinking, tomorrow I'll wake up and do that again. That was it. He had friends that would carry him there because he couldn't even go himself. The dude was physically broken. And we know he was emotionally broken, right? Because he was looking at the ground as he would beg, so much so that Peter and John were like, hey, look at us in our face when you ask, like, you can look at us. And so this guy learned a lot from them, right? And even as they spoke to him and said, listen, we don't have a lot of money or silver and gold to give you, but we will give you what we do have. And what we have is forgiveness of sin. Get up and walk. And they grab him and he stands up, right? And for the first time ever, he was able to put weight on his legs. And his broken body was made whole. And Peter and John were just like standing there, and the power of God came on this dude and healed him. And the dude starts jumping around and leaping. Remember the story? And he goes into the temple with them. And he's still leaping around and just praising Jesus because it's an unbelievable thing that just happened. Not only could now he could walk, but his sins were forgiven. This dude was made right with God. All the shame and the guilt and all that stuff was gone because Jesus had paid that. This guy that he had heard had gone around and done miracles and healed people, that they put on a cross and they crucified and killed and put him in the grave. And then he heard that this Jesus who they put in the grave was now, he was alive, going around, and people were seeing him. He rose from the dead. And so here this guy is, and he had heard the stories. And two of his disciples were here. And by the power of God, this dude now had, through them, met Jesus and had been forgiven and healed. He just couldn't keep his mouth shut. He just had to praise God for what happened, right? And so people are asking. This big crowd forms. They come around them. They're like, what happened to this dude? We know him. How is he dancing? And Peter and John are like, we got to just say what happened. It wasn't us. Like, we didn't do some miracle. We don't have some supernatural powers. We're not some super gods. Like, no. God did a miracle today. We were here. We were part of it. We were obedient. But the power of God, and they said this, there is by one name that a man can be saved. Just one. And it's Jesus. Again, he's the reason, right? He's the reason, and it keeps coming back to Jesus. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests are all like, listen, don't say his name again, right? And that's where we were last week. They gather him up. They threaten him. They're like, listen, you do, there's going to be some nasty consequences if you go around telling people, A, that people can come back from the dead. What is that? And B, that Jesus, who we already killed and put in the grave, that he's responsible for this? You guys better never say his name again. And last week we saw that they said in response, you judge however you need to, but we can't do anything besides say what we saw and heard. And that was that Jesus Christ healed this man. So we're going to talk about him. And this awesome boldness comes out of these guys, right? And all the people start like believing in Jesus because of this. And so now that's where we pick up this week. I want you guys to look with me in Acts 4. We're looking at verses 23 to 31 as we close our series on The Reason Why tonight. Let's see what happens here. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Whew. What a scene to be standing there with them when this happened. They just leave this meeting where they're pulled together and threatened to never say Jesus again or they'd be killed. And immediately, what do? They run to their friends. You ever done that when something happens in your life and you have something worth telling? What do you do immediately? Nowadays, we probably pull our phone out and text it, right? We send out a big old group text or post on Instagram. But the point is, we go to our friends, right? And we're like, I want you to know. You got to check out what just happened. And these dudes are like, you guys need to hear what we were just told by the chief priests. And it wasn't necessarily good news, right? They're not going to be like, hey, our football team just won. They're going, they said they're going to kill us. We have a choice to make, you guys. We've been threatened. And you know that if these people were the friends of John and Peter, that they were probably also talking about Jesus. And so it affected all of them. And so they're standing in the room and they're like, listen, they're saying they're going to kill us if we say Jesus again, if we attribute these things and this power to Jesus. That's what they're saying to us. And what do? They all cower and run and go hide, right? Forget it. We're not going to do it. We give up. They win. No. Immediately, it says that they came together. Look at that first verse. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest said. Look what they do. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. They immediately went to prayer. They said, God, this is what's happened. We know you already know because you know everything and you're everywhere and you see everything. But together, we're going to say this to you, Lord. We need to bring our hearts into alignment with yours. This is what they just said. This is what we're facing right now on this earth physically. These people are saying this to us. Because God does care where you are right now. God does care what you're going through right now. And he wants you to lift your voice up, even though he knows. He knows better than you do. But he wants you to bring it to him. And that's exactly what they do. They come together and they lift their voices up to God in prayer. They didn't take this thing lightly. This is a big deal happening right now in their lives, right? Some of you guys have some big deals happening right now in your life. You got some stuff that you need to run to your friends to and be like, look what's going on with me right now. Look what I'm going through. Look at the pain I have. Look at this thing I lost or this hurt that I'm feeling or this wall that just seems so big in front of me. I don't know how I'm ever going to get over it. I want to encourage you that if you're the friend right now that's being sought out by somebody like that, that you drop to your knees with them and you point them to Jesus. Don't try to give them some great advice. Don't try to share your wisdom and your opinions from your years of experience. Don't try to Google it and find an answer on your phone. Bring them alongside of you as you fall on your knees before God and pray. Say, God, we know you know what this is. We know that you know our experience and our pain better than we do. So God, we need you right now. And together go before him. Seek his wisdom. Seek his love and his healing. That's where they're sitting in a moment just like that tonight. Now look what it says next. Here's their prayer. Listen how they pray. They say, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Stop right there. That's how they start their prayer, right? In a moment where it feels like everything is totally out of their control and spinning around and their lives are being threatened. And they're probably going, how are we ever going to get through this? And they start their prayer off by saying this word, sovereign. Sovereign Lord. You guys know what that means? Sovereign means total authority, total control. That God, you're in control of everything. Nothing gets by you. There's nothing you don't see or hear or know. God, you are in control of everything. In the middle of chaos, in the middle of a scary moment, they acknowledge that God is in control of even that thing that's so scary or so painful, or you name what it is that's the trouble. God has it under his control. Sovereign Lord, they say. And they point out, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Like, God, there's no reason for us to doubt you tonight. You made everything. You made the earth that we're standing on and the sun that keeps us warm and gives us light, and you put air in the atmosphere for us to breathe. You are keeping our hearts beating right now in our chests so we don't die where we are. That's the sovereignty and control of our God. So you have this situation under control. We can trust you. That's why they drop to their knees and pray. That's why he's the first choice in their problems. He's not the last resort. He's the first choice. We know who to go to when things go wrong. And they drop to their knees and they pray to the sovereign God who's in control of everything. And it says this next, who through the mouth of your father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So this is a prophecy. He's like, you remember David? So like they're praying this. David, King David, who was called the man after God's own heart, wrote something that was prophecy. And he talked about, before Jesus ever came, he talked about how people would come around Jesus, these leaders, and they would bring him into this council and they would set themselves against Jesus. And basically describing the same moment. And not only did they do that when they put Jesus on the cross, but it was happening here again, is they're talking about Jesus and the same council is coming around going, don't talk about him. We already put him to death. Leave him in the grave. You guys keep wanting to drag him out of the grave. And they're like, hold on. He came out of that grave himself. He's alive today. You can't change that Jesus is resurrected. So they're pointing out that God had already prophesied this because he was already in control. Even this was part of the plan. Like, you know, that even the worst thing that's ever happened to you has been in God's control. That's hard to take in. That's hard to hear someone else say to you that this terrible thing was in God's control. And you might even already be thinking in your mind, well, does he love me? Why would he let that happen? But we know that we serve a sovereign God, that even the pain and the brokenness that comes, he has authority over it. He rules it. He commands it. He uses it in your life in ways you can't even imagine right now. And that's what's happening here. They didn't immediately you're letting people threaten our lives. They didn't do that. They came and said, God, we know you're in control of even this thing that's scary right now. This threat that's coming against us right now. And I like that it says here, it reminds us that David said it by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit speaks boldly and powerfully through people who seek him in prayer. When you seek God out in prayer like these people, the Holy Spirit will speak through you powerfully and boldly. We see it over and over again in Scripture. As we drop to our knees before God and say, I can't do this. I'm not capable. But I trust you. The Holy Spirit shows up. Holy Spirit that already lives in you, abides in you, seals you forever. That same Holy Spirit fills you with power and boldness to do the thing that you're scared of. To do the thing that you've been stepping back from and going, God, I'm not sure I can do this.
And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's like, let's go, I can do this. And that's exactly what they're praying for here, this boldness from the Holy Spirit. He gave it to David to speak that prophecy. And God's plans are absolute. They were announced long ago, and here they are being fulfilled. So look what it says next. For truly, this is what they're praying. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Herod, Pontius Pilate, all the Gentiles, the people of Israel. All these people came against Jesus to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. This is absolute sovereignty. This is authority. All of these things came together because God said, this is going to happen. This is my plan for this to happen. As you're going through, walking through whatever it is right now, I want to encourage you, don't shy away from God's plan, even if it hurts, even if it's scary, even if you have no clue how this thing's going to end. Not because you feel like you can handle it, but because you have a God who promises to be in control of it if you trust him. And in those moments, when we take that step, right, and this is the scary land right here, this is that decision, this is that moment, and God's like, step into it, and we're like, no, I'm just not sure. Every time you take that step, because you trust in him, you know what happens in your heart? Your faith grows. You took that leap where you weren't sure, but God, I sure trust you, and he proved himself. And now you can say, next time, I think he'll prove himself again. And you can take another step, and guess what? God shows up, and he proves himself. And you're like, now I'm even more emboldened to do this, not because I can, but you keep showing up. You keep doing it. That's your faith growing inside of you that God will not let you down. That God has a plan, and he is in control of even this scary moment in the space in your life. That's where they're at here, and they're praying, and they're like, God, we know you can do this. You've done it before. You are totally in control. And here's what they ask. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. So the scary spot for them was going, we know we have to keep talking about Jesus. There's no way around this. We saw what he did to that guy. We saw a dude who couldn't walk his whole life, and now he's leaping around. Jesus did that. We've seen Jesus feed people with just a little bit of bread and fish in a basket, and he fed thousands of people. We saw him walk on water. We saw him raise dead people. We've seen Jesus do unbelievable things. We know he's God. How can I not talk about him? But if I do, they're saying they're going to kill us. If I say Jesus to a friend or go tell them what Jesus has done in my life or pray with somebody, they're going to come in, and that's a scary space because am I going to lose my life over this? That's what they're saying they're going to do. And so their request to God was this. Lord, look at their threats. They're saying they're going to kill us. But will you not stop them from doing it? Give us boldness to keep speaking about Jesus no matter what. I think I immediately would be like, God, will you protect me from those people? Don't let them get me. You know, like that would be my go-to. Save me. Protect me. They didn't even ask for that here. It's not here. Their request was, God, let me keep having the boldness and courage to do it no matter what they say or threaten. Even if they decide they want to kill me, God, don't let me be unfaithful to you. Guys, that's faith. That's faith because we're not asking God to show us the answer. We're just asking God to help us trust him no matter what the outcome looks like. I've had a couple of students stop by this week. It's been awesome that we have seen people making decisions in here. It's awesome to see people give their life to Jesus. It's awesome to see people be bold about it and be baptized and come in and say, hey, look, I want to be on fire for Christ. And this week I've heard some students, they've come to my office, a few of you, and been like, hey, listen, I don't know how to be on fire for Christ, Rob. How do I do that? You ask for it. You ask for it. Lord, give us faith to continue to speak your word with all boldness. They asked. Do you know that you can just ask God? Say, God, I can't be on fire for you alone. I need the Holy Spirit to well up in me and to give me boldness and strength. To set me ablaze, set me on fire for you. I had a student call me. He graduated a few years ago. He called me this week to say, hey, look, I don't even know if you still want to talk to me. I had been into some stuff before, and I just want to know, like, I'm tired of living in sin. I'm tired of it. And I just want to talk to you about it. I want to learn how to get out of my sin and be on fire for Jesus. Years later, after he's already left Firehouse, he's been gone, he calls up and says, can I come by your office and talk to you about it? You want to know the answer? You ask God to do it. It's not a cop-out. It's faith. You believe that God can reach into your heart with whatever brokenness and sadness and whatever else is in there, and that he can still set that heart on fire for him. And you trust that the Holy Spirit is enough for you. And you ask and say, Lord, fill me with that Holy Spirit. Every day when I wake up, let me be passionate about you. Fill me with that passion to go out and tell people about who you are and what you've done in my life. You guys have been hearing students get up here every week, and Alicia tonight, and we've been sharing our testimonies, right? The story of what God's doing in your life. Are you hearing them? Are you hearing these amazing things that God is taking broken people and making them new? That God's changing them? And do you know that can be you? In your own way, God wants to reach in and make you brand new and fill you with this passion and this fire to live for him, to do things you couldn't even imagine right now. When the Holy Spirit steps up in you, he's going to blow your mind with what he does. Peter and John had no idea they were going to heal some dude, right? He hasn't walked for 40 years. And yet, because they had the faith, God showed up and blew their mind. I'm not saying you're going to go heal people who couldn't walk. I don't know what God's going to do with you. That's his plan. That's for him to decide. But I do know that if you place all your trust in him, he will blow your mind with what he does. Because the Holy Spirit is powerful. And he wants to fill you with power and with boldness. Look what they say next. After they ask for that power and boldness through the Holy Spirit, he says, while you stretch out your hands to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They don't take any credit. Like, we don't want the glory for this. We didn't do this. God, Jesus, is responsible for this. We showed up with faith, and you performed a miracle through us. And we want you to be glorified. So God, keep showing up. We want to see more of it. We want to see you heal. We want to see you put broken lives back together again. We want to stand here and just be like, whoa, the power of God's blowing my mind right now. You ask for it. You get on your knees and humble yourself. You confess your sin before him and say, God, I can't. I need you to do this. I need you to fill me with that power. And look what happens. It says, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. I mean, the power of God to answer prayer. Do you guys believe in prayer? Do you believe that if you pray, God will hear you because he's listening to you? Do you believe that he'll respond in powerful ways because God responds to prayer? And so many of us are wasting this awesome gift God's given us called prayer. And if we were to be honest, we'd be like, when's the last time you prayed? And you're like, hey, kind of like Sunday school class or before I had that pizza the other day. When's the last time you sat before God and got on your knees and humbly begged him to do a work that would blow your mind in your life? To grant you faith to do something you're incapable of doing? When's the last time you asked him to do something like that? I mean, it's good to pray for your food. I'm not dissing that. But take it up a notch. These dudes are praying and this temple's shaking. How do you pray? Do you place your trust and your faith in God as you pray and beg him to do things that are mind-blowing and wait for him to show up and do it? Believe that he'll do it. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. He answered their prayer. They prayed for boldness, and guess what? The Holy Spirit shows up. He gave them the boldness. Even though they had been threatened, their lives were threatened, they were still bold because the Holy Spirit said, let's go. Don't stop. You keep telling people about Jesus. Those friends who make fun of you for coming to Firehouse or going to church or reading your Bible, being a goody-goody, making wise choices when they're wanting you to go make bad choices with them, the peer pressure, all that. That's your moment. That's your space where you step in and you say, God, here's a moment. Grow my faith. I'm trusting you. Show up. And when he does, man, your faith's going to grow. Holy Spirit's going to be evident. He's going to give you boldness to say, no, I love Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me get on a stage in front of people, and I'm scared out of my mind to talk in front of people, but I'll do it. You know why? Because I know there's people out there that need to hear the name of Jesus. Maybe that will be you. Maybe it will be a one-on-one conversation with somebody. Nobody else is around. And you're just able to share what God's done in your life. I don't know what it will look like, but God has some awesome plans for you. Will you pray and ask him to do it? Will you be bold and say, Lord, let's go. Let's go. I want to serve you. That's where they're at tonight. That's where these friends got together and supported each other, and they prayed for it, and God gave it to them through the Holy Spirit. Listen, nowadays, everybody has something to say. Everybody has a message. Everybody's selling something and has a platform and just wants you to trust and believe all of these different things. And you can do that and listen to those people and follow them, or you can be bold in Jesus Christ. You can be laser focused on what you've been put in on this earth for, the kingdom of Jesus, and not be distracted by the sides that keep forming and whose side will I end up on? And you say, no, I'm done with the sides. I'm on Jesus' side. Y'all can fight this out. I'm going to keep talking about Jesus. He's what I know. He's what I've seen. He's the power that's changed my life. I'm talking about Jesus, and I'm staying focused on Jesus and not Democrats and Republicans and masks and no masks and social justice and a million other things that Satan wants us to be distracted by. I'm going to be here for Jesus because he's what I know. He's who showed up in my life. And what the world really needs is Christians who will be bold about Christ, not old Christians. All Christians, that's you too. God's calling you young people to stand up and say, Lord, here I am. I'm scared. I can't do it. Give me the Holy Spirit so I can be bold and stand for Christ above everything else. You bow your heads with me. Do you want to be bold? Do you want to be on fire for God? Maybe you're like all these kids who have come to my office this week, and that seems to be the question that the Holy Spirit's putting on a lot of our hearts. I think he's doing that among our group because we're all asking the question over and over. So tonight we're answering it. I want to challenge you that maybe you're part of that group. Maybe you're one of those kids, and this week we talked. Maybe you're not, but you're there. You're part of that group tonight. You'd say, that's me too. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to do a special prayer for us as Firehouse, as God's church, that we would be bold and lit on fire for Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight, you want to be part of that prayer, you want part of that prayer to God, say, hey, give us the Holy Spirit. Will you slip your hand in the air just boldly, no shame? Like, that's me. I want some of that. I want to be prayed with. I want to be prayed over. Include me in this prayer tonight. Raise your hand up for me nice and high so I can see. Be bold and say, that's me. I want that. I'm ready to live for Christ, on fire for him. God, give me boldness. I see hands, yes. I love it. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to be bold for Jesus. Awesome. You guys can put your hands down. We're going to pray in just a minute over that. But maybe you're here tonight and you're like, man, I don't have Jesus. I haven't met him. I don't have this relationship you're talking about. But anyone who can do that... Anyone that loves me that much, I want to know him. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be made right with God. I want to be brand new. If that's you tonight, would you just slip your hand up too? I'm not going to ask you to move anywhere. I just want to pray over you. Just raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to know this God who can change my life. I want my sins forgiven tonight. I want to be made brand new. Just slip your hand up in the air so we can see and pray for you. Awesome. All right. I don't want to pray alone. I'm asking, just like John and Peter went and their friends all got together and gathered and prayed as a group, I want to ask you guys to pray with me tonight. Don't just listen to me. But in your heart, will you just pray for the people right around you? Maybe you came with some friends, pray for them by name. Maybe you don't know other names but in the room, but they're here. And so ask God for those people too. So join me right now as we ask God to do something. Lord, you're here. You know this conversation we're having. Father, you know it better than we do. You saw the hands go in the air. You know what's in our hearts. Lord, we want the Holy Spirit. We want his power. We want his boldness. Not to make us famous, not to make our names great, but to make yours great. We believe in you, Jesus. Will you make our faith stronger? Because we're taking steps that are scary. But God, we know you can do it. Fill these students with faith. Cause them to have conversations they've been scared of and putting off for a long time. Cause them to love and serve people that they've been scared of for a long time. Give them forgiveness in their hearts against those people they've considered enemies for a long time. Christ, we need your boldness to do what we can't and to fix what we can't, and we're asking you for that now. Bless this room, the adults, the students, all of us here together. Will you grow us in faith? Will you make this journey the most important thing we could ever be on? Help us to chase after you, Jesus, because we sure know you're chasing after us. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.